I'll begin reading in verse 16 through verse 21. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God.
Thank you, Jeff, for leading us in those songs. If you have your Bible with you this morning, let me invite you to go ahead and open it to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Several years ago, when we lived in Ireland, we made very close friends with a man named Glenn Langston. Glenn was a remarkable person. He could do just about everything, was extremely musically gifted, in spite of the fact that Glenn was blind. He was blinded shortly after his birth, and he had no recollection of ever having seen. He told me one time, he said, "I think I might understand what it's like to see, because I've dreamed before that I could detect the presence of someone in a way that I can't explain." And he said, "I guess I'll just have to wait until I get to heaven to know what it's really like to be able to see." This morning, I want to introduce you to another man that we find here on the pages of Scripture in John chapter 9, a man that was born blind, who did not understand what it was like to see, but who would be given the gift of sight by Jesus. Let's read beginning in John chapter 9, verse 1. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was, but others said, 'No, he only looks like him.' But he himself insisted, 'I am the man.' 'How then were your eyes opened?' they demanded. He replied, 'The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see him.' 'Where is this man?' they asked him. 'I don't know,' he said." Let me tell you a little secret about blindness. There's more than one kind of blindness. In fact, there is a blindness that is far more serious than physical blindness. In Scripture, we read about those who are spiritually blind. These are those who are surrounded by the love of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God, and yet they never acknowledge Him. They never thank Him. They never respond to Him, even though He's so close to them and loves them so dearly. They are spiritually blind to the reality of God that's all around them. Two things are necessary in order for us to see physically. We need light and we need sight. I have been down in the bottom of Carlsbad Caverns, and some of you have too, and they'll turn the lights out when you're down there. And even though you have sight, without light, there's no difference between you and one who is blind. Now, my friend Glenn Langston, who is blind, can be standing in the noonday sun, surrounded by light, but he can't see because he has no sight. So these two things are always necessary in order for us to see. We must have sight and we must have light. You know, spiritually, the same thing is required. We must have light and sight in order to see spiritually. And the light that is required to see spiritually is the light of God's revelation. God, as He makes Himself and has made Himself visible to us through His Word, through His entry into this world, through what He's done through Jesus Christ, that brings light. Jesus earlier in this text said, "I am the light of the world." He is the one that allows us to see spiritually. He provides the light for our eyes. Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 is described in these words, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness understood it not." You see, just because you have light doesn't automatically mean that you have sight spiritually. Did you know that not everyone who sat there and listened to Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone responded in faith to those words? They had the light of Jesus, and yet many didn't hear those words at all. Did you know that not everyone who witnessed a miracle performed by Jesus responded in faith? They had the light of the miracle, but they didn't all respond and see who He really was. There were many who stood there at the cross and who witnessed the crucifixion. They had the light of the Son of God, and yet they did not have the sight, the vision, the eyes to see what was happening. You know, it takes two things to see, light and sight. That's why Jesus said what He did in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. He said, "Though seeing, they do not see, and though hearing, they do not understand. You will be forever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." I remember several years ago, there was a young man who had just become a Christian, and he was so excited by the things he was learning and the things that he was seeing. And he said, "It's just so obvious. It's just so plain. Why doesn't everyone see what I'm seeing?" You know, it's hard to explain to someone like that there are many people who will see the very same things and have the very same opportunities and who will remain blind and never respond to what God's doing for them. I used to think that all it would take to evangelize the world would just get the story of the gospel of Jesus out there to them, and surely once they heard that, they would respond. But that's not the way it is. People can be surrounded by light and never see. So you need more than light. You need sight. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." You know, Satan will do everything he can to keep the blind spiritually in that same state. But Satan cannot put out the light of the gospel. He can't quench what Jesus has done and is doing in our world. So what he does, because he can't put the light out, he blinds the hearts of those who otherwise would see. Let me tell you another little secret about seeing. Only God can open the eyes of the blind, physically and spiritually. Only God can open blinded eyes. And He will only open the eyes of the humble. In Psalm 51:17, we're told that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. And in the 146th Psalm, the psalmist says, "The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down." You know why? And this used to be a mystery to me. You know why the Jewish leaders could not see, even in the glaring light of the miracles and the teachings of Jesus, the things that He was trying to impart to them? They were filled with arrogance and they were filled with pride. And they refused to bow low and acknowledge their own need and acknowledge their own blindness. And as long as someone is arrogant and prideful, they will remain blind. God only gives sight to those who will acknowledge their blindness. Now, let's go back to the story here in John chapter 9. This is a marvelous story of the restoration of sight, both physically and ultimately spiritually. This man would go on to receive eyes that could see Jesus for who he was. And note the progression as he learned and responded to the light of Jesus. Back in verse 11, it says, when they initially questioned him about his receiving sight, they said, "Who was it that did this?" And he replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." Where is the man, they asked him, and he said, "I don't know." He started out by saying, "All I know for sure is there's some man out there, and his name is Jesus," and that's all he was willing to commit to, that's all he was willing to say, "some man did this for me." Well, they continued to question him, and in verse 15 it says, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And so he tells them again, "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." And some of the Pharisees said, they knew it was Jesus, and so they spoke in a very disparaging way of Jesus. They said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." And others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Later on, he's questioned again by another group. And look down in verse 24 and 25. It says, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner, Jesus." And he replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." You know, a lot of folks are very fearful about sharing Jesus with others because they're afraid that someone may ask them a question that they don't know the answer to. And a lot of people are so paralyzed by that, they're afraid that someone will ask them about a verse or ask them about something that they believe and they can't defend it or they can't explain it. And so we just keep our mouths closed. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you a way to get over that fear permanently. This man responded in a way that we all need to be able to respond that will eliminate that fear. They asked him twice questions. They said, "Where is this man that did this for you?" And he just said, "I don't know." They said, "This man's a sinner. Give glory to God and say that." He said, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. All I know is I was blind and now I see." You know, there are a lot of things in the Word of God that we may not be able to explain clearly. And we just need to have the freedom to say, "I don't know. But one thing I do know," and the most powerful thing that you can do to share Jesus with others is just tell them what He's done for you. Tell them about the joy of forgiveness. Tell them about the family of believers that you're part of. Tell them about what He's done in your life and how your life has grown and how it's improved, how He's blessed you in so many ways. You know, people are much more apt to respond to love and joy and peace and kindness in your life than they are to any theological argument that you can use to back them into a corner. People don't respond to that. This man goes on, and they continue to question him, and he continues to become bolder in the questioning process. Look in verse 17. It says that they finally turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He's a prophet." Earlier he said he's a man. Now he says, "You know, I really think he's a prophet to be able to do this." Later on in verses 30 and following, it says the man answered, you know, saying to them, they didn't know where Jesus had come from. And he has the boldness to really respond back to them. And he says, "Now, that's remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." He was a man. He was a prophet. He's got to be a man who has come from God, or he could not have done these things. They were so angry with that response that they threw him out. He was barred from the synagogue, barred from worship because of the stand that he had taken for Jesus. And Jesus comes back around at the end of the story, and he finds this man again, this man that he had given sight to. And we see that there in verse 35. It says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. This man had received physical sight, and by the end of the day, he had received spiritual sight. You know, we've all been exposed to the light of God in varying degrees. And your response to that light will determine whether you gain sight or whether you lose sight forever. Paul spoke in Romans chapter 1 about those who had received the light of God and yet rejected that light. He said, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And that darkness grew greater and greater and greater until there was nothing but blindness. Back in John 3, the passage that was read at the beginning this morning, notice again what John says in verses 19 and following. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. And let me tell you, it is worse. It is worse for those of us who have been exposed to the light of God and who have rejected that light than for those who have only been exposed dimly to the light of God. There are some of you here who were raised in Christian homes and you have heard the story of Jesus over and over and over again. You've been around Christian people. You've seen changed lives. You've seen the light of God. And for someone to see all that and then to say no to Him and turn their back on Him, there's terrible darkness awaiting. You know, I love the light. I love my sight. And I can't imagine anything worse than spending an eternity in outer darkness where the light of God is forever removed. When Jesus comes in judgment, He will not only condemn man in his sin, He will also condemn those who have had the light for their rejection of that light. You know, having the disease of sin is bad enough, and we've all got that disease. But to reject the cure for that disease is inexcusable. We have the light, and this morning the question is this: have you received that light? Have you accepted that light? Have you responded to the light of God in your life? God can only give sight to those who will humbly acknowledge their need, their blindness, their poverty. Naaman almost missed out. He was cured of leprosy, but at first he wasn't willing to dip in that river. He humbled himself and allowed the cleansing of God. If you'll humble yourself, God will give you the vision that will allow you to see both now and through all of eternity. We sing a beautiful song. We're not going to sing it now, but we sing it at times, "Amazing Grace." "I once was blind, but now I see." I hope you can sing that song. If you need to come this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.